Before we look into God's Word, let's go to Him in prayer once more, please. Heavenly Father, thank You for this opportunity to sing together Your praises, to get an idea of what the future may hold for Horizon Church, to launch out into the rollout of this new vision. We thank You for that opportunity today as we worship You, giving of our resources to You, fellowshipping with one another, sitting in for instruction, praying with one another, and now giving attention to Your Word. We ask that You'd open our eyes and our hearts to receive what You have for us. Thank You for Your great faithfulness, Your mercy and love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, sometimes we try so hard to live in the present. We're always encouraged to be living in the present. And sometimes we focus so hard on the new vision that we've embraced that we want to stay committed to. We get all geared up to do that. Sometimes we forget to remember. And the Bible says that there's great value in remembering our past experiences, those shared moments. They shape who we are and tell us something about who we will become. And the Bible is full of examples of people who were called to remember what God had done for them. When God placed a rainbow in the sky, He told Noah that this was a memorial, a sign to remember. It was a reminder to both God and man that God would never destroy the earth again with water. And then when God met Jacob on that stairway to heaven in a very graphic dream he had, Jacob was so impressed that he raised a rock of remembrance and anointed it with oil and called that place Bet-El, the place or the house of God. And the Lord told Moses years later to celebrate the Passover every year so the people would never forget, to remind them that He had delivered them from their slavery in Egypt. And God told Joshua, his successor, to pile 12 large stones in the plain there to celebrate and remember what God had done for them as they crossed over the Jordan, the spring floodwaters that God had been faithful to them through the 40 years in the desert and then crossing that raging river. God had been faithful. And so He raised up these stones of remembrance. And you might remember the prophet and priest Samuel, who raised an Ebenezer stone there on the plain outside of Mizpah, a stone of remembrance, celebrating that God had delivered them from the Philistines. And then, of course, our Lord Jesus told His disciples about the broken bread and the cup. Do this in remembrance of Me. God tells us numerous times to remember, and so we ought to. Our passage of Scripture this morning is about remembering God's goodness to us. There are 15 Psalms known as the Psalms of Ascent, Numbers 120 through 134. They were sung by the pilgrims who were making their way to Jerusalem, to the city of Zion, and it was always up to Zion because it was situated on a hill. No matter if you were coming from the north, you were still going up to Zion. That's why it was known as the Psalms of Ascent. They were ascending to the city of God where they would celebrate Passover or the Feast of Pentecost, the first fruits, or the Feast of Tabernacles or booths. And on their way, they stopped and refreshed themselves, obviously, from time to time, and they'd sing one of these psalms, worshiping the Lord, enjoying His goodness. And our text this morning, Psalm 126, is the seventh of these 15 Psalms of Ascent. This song is generally thought to have been composed by Ezra the priest upon the return of God's people, the Jews, from their captivity in Babylon around the year 538 BC. Now, the Jewish people had been in captivity. They had been in Babylon, exiled away from home for 70 years. And so that's a very long time. Many of them thought they'd never see their homeland again, but God had brought them back. And Psalm 137 actually captures something of their sentiment when they first were exported, dragged to Babylon out of their homes. And Psalm 137 says, "By the rivers of Babylon, we sat and wept when we remembered Zion. There on the poplars or willows we hung our harps. For there our captors asked us for songs. Our tormentors demanded songs of joy. They said, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How can we sing the songs of the Lord while in a foreign land? But after those 7 decades, many trying years, God delivered them and superintended their return back to their homeland, to Israel. And so their mouths were filled with joy. In Psalm 126, they praise God for their new liberty and for their return to the homeland. Hear now the reading of God's word. Psalm 126. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with shouts of joy. Then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us. We are glad. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like streams in the Negev. Those who sow in tears shall reap with shouts of joy. He who goes out weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy, bringing his sheaves with him. This is the word of God. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of God abides forever. So in this psalm, we see God's people enjoying God, thanking him. Their mouths are filled with laughter and with songs and with shouts. And we see them encouraging one another with this great good news that God has brought us home again. And then we even see references that Jesus would interpret later to engage the world around them. So they were enjoying their God. It says, when the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dream. It was like they were waltzing in a dream. God was bringing them back. Someone pinch me. I can't believe this is real. I wonder, when you were delivered, that is, when you were convinced by God's Spirit that you were a sinner and those failings of yours, those faults of yours were very real, and had eternal consequences, and it weighed very heavily on your heart and mind. And when you heard the great good news of the gospel, that Jesus has died for sinners, and that he rose again to prove that everything he ever said was true, and that he now offers to us, the likes of you and me, that he will exchange our sin, our filth, for his righteousness. He will extend to us pardon for guilt. He'll number us among his own. When we hear that good news, did it feel like maybe we were in a dream? Someone pinch me. Did your mouth get filled with songs? Songs of joy or shouts of joy, as this is interpreted here. But I wonder if you remember your deliverance when God saved you by his grace. Well, verse 2 says, then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with shouts of joy. The joy of the Lord, that's the gladness that lies in our hearts. It comes from knowing God. It comes from abiding in Christ. It comes from being filled with the Spirit. There is a joy that is the fruit of God's Holy Spirit. It's a joy that may baffle those who don't understand it, who do not have it themselves. But for the believer in Jesus Christ, this joy is as natural as grapes growing on a vine. As we abide in Jesus, the true vine, he refers to himself as, why, we're branches full of his vitality, full of his strength. And one of the fruits of the Spirit that we produce includes great joy. It's his doing, you see. Our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongues with shouts of joy. Some translations say, and our tongues with singing. And certainly he has put a new song in our mouths, even praise to our God, the psalmist says in Psalm 40. And the apostle Paul refers to that. Don't be drunk with wine, which is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Singing with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. That's Ephesians 5:18-19. He says in Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. We have a new song. Revelation 5:7 tell us that there will be a new song sung in the very dynamic presence of God. And so we're singing this song now. We're rehearsing for heaven. But this is what God has done for us. And this is the same joy that these travelers were feeling as they made their way to the feasts in Jerusalem. And then it says in verse 3, the Lord has done great things for us. We are glad. And it's on this verse 3 that I'd like to focus for just a few moments. God has certainly done great things for us here at Horizon. And I will confess to you, I was feeling somewhat disappointed that our grand visions for the future, the mega church that had planted many other churches and made huge impact all over the upstate, was not Horizon by name. That was something of the vision, grandiose ideas that we had in the beginning. And it's easy for me as pastor to feel like this hasn't turned out this way and my heart is heavy. But you know, when I began reflecting on the goodness of God and actually discovering, recalculating what God has done for us, I was moved deeply this week as I recalled some of the things, as I asked staff to remind me, as I reflected on what God has done. It's been a great encouragement to me, and I hope that it will be to you as we take a brief look back before we look to the next 20 years. I think of the adults and children who've settled their relationship with Jesus Christ over these years. Those who've had the opportunity to lead them in Sunday school, at home, and in various places, we've seen people come to know the Lord. And that is the joy that's beyond compare for me, to see someone move from death to life, to step out of the darkness into the light, to know that God has done great things in transforming them. That's the vision we have, even into the future. But as I reflect on that, it warms my heart. It moves me to tears to think of those who've been impacted and our children because of faithful teachers down through the years who've come to know Jesus. We've seen a lot of babies born. We've had the privilege of marrying some, joining some in marriage. We've had the sad duty of burying a few and yet rejoicing as those who have hope. We've made friends, established fellowship through the various community groups and small groups and the various endeavors we've achieved together. There have been scores of baptisms of covenant children, as well as new believers have been baptized in this place. And so we rejoice in that. We are growing in Christ. God has done great things for us. You want to recall some? How about what God has done through the Good News Club at Malden Elementary, through Child Evangelism Fellowship? Do you know we've been there for 17 years? People from this congregation, I think of Melissa Young, who sort of leads that effort for us and has been faithful all these years. People like Susan Goodbar and Wynn Lowry and Shelley McDowell and Sarah Powell and Ed Graham and Sue Murphy. These folks are just a few of those who have been part of that. And I think of Bill Brown, who's doing the same thing over at Taylor's Elementary, over near where he lives. But through the CEF clubs, what has happened? Every year, 6 to 10 children profess their faith in Jesus Christ. You multiply that by 17. Children who come from homes where they may never hear the name of Jesus, except in a profane expression. Average attendance over there is 100 to 110 every Tuesday afternoon. Scores of professions of faith have been made through the years. We've held Christmas parties. We sponsored them here on this campus for these children. We've gone to the banquets, and at those banquets, individually and collectively, we've given thousands of dollars over the years. Thousands of dollars have been raised. I've played in the golf tournament, several of us have. A big endeavor. And we raise a lot of money for these many clubs all across the upstate. But we have the Good News Spectacular at the Greenville Convention Center, where hundreds, even thousands, hear the good news. God has done great things for us, I tell you, through the Good News Club. And He's done great things for us through Miracle Hill Ministries. You know, some of the things that we've been able to participate over the years, I think of the big landscape job we did with the Palmetto Boys Home several years ago. That was a major help to them. And so we've done things like that. The two children's home makeovers. One in Pickens, I think that I heard the figure was equivalent to $80,000 through our labor, our gifts in kind, and the money that was donated to purchase the material that we used to totally make over children's home in Pickens for Miracle Hill Ministries, and then another one up the road that wasn't quite as extensive, I don't believe, as the one that's right there on the main road. Some of us gathered to, a number of us gathered to paint the halfway house for the women there on the east side, and some landscaping was done there as well. But we've served meals at the Overcomers facility over on 291 North and down at the Rescue Mission downtown. We've attended their banquets over the years too. And again, collectively, through gifts from Horizon Church and through the individuals in this church, thousands of dollars have been given to Miracle Hill to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ and to care for their temporal needs as well. Thousands have been given. Individuals have volunteered. I think of D. Graham, who quietly behind the scenes has been working at Shepherd's Gate, the home for women there, that battered women and women in need. Thank you, D., for that. And I don't know, there may be others that are working behind the scenes. God is using you. We don't publicize it, but I think of the Thanksgiving pies that we've made for the Rescue Mission for 10 years now. Average 25 pies are brought here on a Tuesday before Thanksgiving. That makes about 200 slices of pie, I'm told. So for 10 years, that's 2,000 slices of pie given in Jesus' name. It's not a cup of cold water, but it matters. Thank you for doing those kinds of things. And foster care through Miracle Hill Ministries. A number of our people have been certified and encouraged and trained through Miracle Hill Ministries. And they fostered children. You know them. And some have even adopted as a result. So Miracle Hill Ministries, we are a significant partner with them. God has done great things, I tell you. And then through the Piedmont Women's Center and the early days of the women's Bible study, a number of them got together to do a cosmetic makeover for the original facility down there, which now pales in comparison to the brand new site. But we have been able to host the graduation ceremony for these women, a memorial service for those who've graduated from Forgiven and Set Free, the Bible study they do. And our hearts have been moved as we've seen the candles lit in honor of those children who were aborted. And testimonies given by these women, how their life has been changed because of the ministry of Piedmont Women's Center. We're key partners. Do you know that we've got folks in here who are regular volunteers and even employees at Angela Schweier? Thank you. And Lynn Holbrooks, thank you for this kind of ministry. We're represented there. You represent Horizon Church over there. And I think of the baby bottle boomerang that we've done for a number of years, those baby bottles that we fill with coins, thousands of dollars given over the years in that regard. Thousands given from your resources that the elders have had discretionary fund that we distribute to ministries in the upstate. But again, individually and collectively, thousands, tens of thousands of dollars. If you'll go to the new facility on Grove Road, it's beautiful. There is a Horizon paver there, just like the one that's right out here in the back, exactly like that with our logo. And you'll see around it names of individuals who've given additionally to that to help the organization and to pay for that facility. So God has done great things. I think of the banquets we've attended over the years and the 5K Race for Life. Now, I've never gone once to that. I only run if someone's chasing me. But some of you have, and you've helped raise funds for this ministry that is gospel-centered, Bible-centered. Praise God for that. He's done great things. God has done great things in short-term mission trips our people have taken. Sometimes under the auspices of the church where we've commissioned you and prayed with you and made a big deal of it. And some of you quietly going around the world behind the scenes. Of course, Ecuador, from the very early days, we've been associated with Otavala, taking teams down there again and again. And Pagulca, the little Indian village that sits up on the mountain above that that city high in the Andes. But a number of trips have been taken there, and many of you young people who are now adults were there. But we just went back, obviously. We've done vacation Bible schools and ministered in a variety of ways. One year we brought them potable water. We dug a lot of ditches that week and brought pumps to pump it up from the reservoir itself to the artificial reservoir and Hundreds of yards of ditches were dug in order to bring them right to the front yard of every house or home in that Indian village. And I think of the trip to Poland back in 2009 that we went with CRU, or Campus Crusade. Several of us went there and passed out tracts and did evangelism one-on-one encountering with a number of students. We had an American cafe there. Some of us used our gifts to reach out to these young people in the city of Krakow. It was a wonderful mission trip. Some of you went recently. Three of you went to Guatemala a couple of summers ago to do some medical missions there. I thank you for enabling Deborah and I to go to China back in 2007, where we did some ministry and traveled throughout that land with Dr. and Mrs. Weathers and their son Stephen, who was there, of course. And you helped send me to India as well in 2014, where I spent 2 weeks teaching and training indigenous leaders, pastors, and financial support for a host of people. I think just this past summer, Trey Stewart and Amanda Dara went down with Navigators to Mexico and ministered. You supported them in that. Alex Clement went this summer to Ireland. And I think of Servants for Sight. Used to be Surgeons for Sight, but now Servants for Sight. And the work they've done in Haiti and Ecuador and Dominican Republic and in a variety of places. But Dr. Kurt Heitman and his wife Robin have gone on those, have led those trips to bring sight to those who cannot see. I think of that. Do you know the statistics say that a person who's not sighted, that that handicap, that challenge affects not just them, but eight people in their circle. It changes their lives. And you think of that. To remove a cataract or correct someone's vision, changing an individual's life forever, and then those around them as well. It's really amazing, but I thank you for that. Jennifer Reyes works with Servants for Sight now. Thank God for these people. And I think Stuart Good is another friend who very quietly goes around the world from time to time with Campus Crusade, just showing the Jesus movie and witnessing to people afterwards. So thank God for the short-term missions projects. I haven't named them all, but thank God for the. I think of the church planting efforts. You know, there's a church in Spartanburg right now, Grace Church, which we helped. We helped with the financial gift, and we helped them with actual outreach in the early days. So we're very happy to partner with them. I think of Emmanuel Church, another church here in the upstate that is a PCA plant led by the Peruvian William Castro. We helped them financially. We also loaned out Ceci and David Satterley, an elder here, for a number of months as they helped them in the very early days of the planting of that church. We've had something to do with that, folks. And then I think of Christ the King Presbyterian Church in West Roxbury, Massachusetts, just outside of Boston, since 2012. Church planter Brian Loney went to the Boston area with a burden to plant a church, and part of an M&A effort where a number of churches were planted in that region. Brian's an interesting guy, PhD in clinical psychology. He was teaching, fully tenured professor at Florida State University. The first year he taught there, someone shared the gospel of Jesus Christ with him. And this educated guy, good-hearted guy, he believed, became a follower of Jesus Christ. He later went to seminary, left his tenured position at Florida State, and planted that church with he and his wife Lisa. And we've been supporting them. Over $20,000 we've given them over the past few years. So God has done great things. And then I think of Mission to North America, MNA, which is the agency for the PCA that plants churches in North America. Every year, 50 to 55 churches are planted in North America. We were a church plant under their auspices. They were good to us. They trained us. They encouraged us. And we have given back to them all these years. Over $50,000 we've given to see other churches planted just through Mission to North America. Then I think, for instance, of Gideon's International. While we partnered with them for quite a while now, we've given the money through the Elders' Discretionary Fund, which is $1,000 a month. Historically, we've done this. And they've been one of the recipients of these gifts, plus the gifts that individuals have given as well, generously. I think of those who serve with Gideon's International from our own congregation. Bill Fant, God bless you. I think of the trip you made to India that broke your heart for people who need the gospel. And another trip you made as well. You've shared with us some of that. The Gideon's International, we are for the Word of God being distributed throughout the world. And so we partner with these agencies for the printing and distribution. I think of Bill Ritchie. He's served as a Gideon. Bill's been a Gideon. Bill Ritchie. And Bill Ritchie and Judy are moving to Mesa, Arizona, just outside of Phoenix. They've got a really highly acclaimed Parkinson's treatment center there in Phoenix. And Bill's going to avail himself of that. But also, they'll be moving soon. And our hearts will be sad to see you go, Bill. But I know that you've served as a Gideon. God bless you for that. And I think of Scott Black, another one in our congregation, that have laid, that pay their way, that don't ask for money for anything other than the printing of the Bible. That's all. And so we're glad to partner with folks like that, to give them. And we have, over the years, individually and collectively, thousands of dollars have given of God's money, and His resources have gone to Gideon's International. God has done great things. The stories we would hear, if we could sit down and listen to these folks, it would amaze you how people have come to know Jesus through opening a Bible. You've heard some of the stories all over America and around the world. We've had a part in that. I think of the missions and the missionaries that we have supported by God's grace. Do you know that over these years, more than $1 million has been appropriated from here for global missions? In Puerto Rico, for instance, Jeff Cecilia Heiser, the grandson of Russ and Bonnie, he was a child of this congregation, grew up, went to seminary, and now is church planting in Puerto Rico. He's pastoring now. God bless Jeff. But he's done great things through this church in these various ways. I think of Wycliffe International. Again, the translating of God's Word. We supported Jonathan McDowell and Julie in Indonesia for a number of years now. Thank God for that opportunity. We have missionaries in the Middle East, Frank and Sherry Newell and Peter and Janet Heron. And in Ecuador, we support a national there, Segundo Arango. And he ministers to these folks in the mountain village of Pagulca. I think of in Chile for the past number of years, Johan and Stephanie van der Westhuizen. But now they're retiring. They're coming home. And so we'll have other opportunities with our resources. But I think of the great work they've done in Chile. A couple of weeks ago, you heard Paul and Missy Robolo, missionaries to France and throughout Europe. We've supported them for a number of years. And then a member of our own congregation, Laura Fells. When she was here the very earliest day, she was a charter member. She was associated with Campus Crusade International, or CRU, and the Chosen People. She had a Jewish background. She was serving with them in New York City. Her first week in New York was September 2001. She had only been there a few days when the towers were hit. She ministered at the United Nations. The embassy worked there for a number of years, and then they decided to move her to London, where she has new challenges. But Laura Fells is one that we've supported over these many years. Many lives have been touched to them. I think of the indigenous leaders that we support in Poland, for instance, like Robert Kowalski, his faithful witness, his kind and gracious heart, and his partner in ministry, Adam Adamus, both with CRU International. But they've been reaching people for Christ for a number of years, and we're partnering with them. I think of our missionaries in Mexico, Guillermo and Jenny Salinas. In Monaco, Roger and Sarah Randall. I think of Shamgar's uncle, Bruce McDowell, who was here not too long ago. Dr. McDowell is the president of the Santiago Theological Seminary in the Dominican Republic, where they are training young men throughout the Caribbean for gospel ministry from a Reformed worldview. So we praise God for that. And then many of you have been blessed by the representatives we've had come from Haggai, the John Haggai Institute. Do you know that over these years, we've given more than $100,000? It costs a little over $9,000 to train a leader for 28 days in their training center at Maui. And these leaders pledge, they promise, after they've been trained in the gospel presentation and church planting and all that, why they'll reach 100 others. So you see how our resources are being multiplied through an agency like Haggai International, and all these leaders that they handpick and invite and train. You've heard them. They're incredibly dynamic people. The gospel, you see, we're partnering with. The last couple of years, we've given $1,000 each year to the India Gospel Mission. Bibles they can buy for $5 and distribute there. So we've had the opportunity to help them. I think of Tent Makers, the Tent Makers Project, which is a loaning money to local believers for business startups in third world countries, particularly in Africa. We've had a part in that. Also, I praise God for the care ministry that we've had right here at Horizon for one another. The bereavement group, where meals are prepared for several days. The bereavement is for funeral service, where a family is touched by the preparation of a meal. And some of you have felt that expression of love. I'm very grateful for those involved in that. And then, of course, there's the illness. I don't have a better word for that, but after surgery, post-surgery, where we have meal trains that are established for meals that go to people. This is just expressions of love and care and concern. Do you know some other important facts that we have, over these years, we thank God that we've retired well over $1 million in debt so that we are now debt-free and have been for the past couple of years. The Deacons Fund that is off budget is administered by them quietly to people in this congregation and to people outside in the community over these years has given more than $150,000. Remember when Emmanuel AME Church in Charleston was racked by that shooting, the tragic shooting? We sent money down to them as well to encourage them. I think of the women's ministry here. It's jaw-dropping. Deborah told me 115 Bible study books have been distributed just for this term. And so we have ladies coming in the morning and ladies coming in the evening. And it's been going on and on under Mia Rose and Deborah's capable leadership and the small group leaders and the conferences they've gone to together. And they've been built up and encouraged in the Word of God. It's a beautiful thing. You come here on Wednesday morning and you'll find out how exciting it is. I appreciate so much Jan Hurst's interest in the folks that are moving. You saw the commercial this morning, the announcement that was made, the Just Moved ministry. We're trying to reach. We're sending out mailers. We're trying to get the word out to this fast-growing community that we want to help you make this adjustment, that we want to minister to you. I think of Created for a Purpose that Jennifer and Shelley and the others did this summer for our young women, a creative art camp. That so many fabulous things were taught these young ladies. And so I'm glad for that. And also the built for a purpose for our young guys. By the way, there were 32 girls that attended that Created for a Purpose. A number of guys came in the evening for Built for a Purpose. I think of the gallons of blood that have been contributed to the Carolina Blood Center, right? The blood connection. And I don't see Jim this morning, Jim and Diane, but Jim Cody has headed that up for a number of years. And so the gift of life we've given to this community over and over. I think of the Avengers and the Princesses who a number of times visited the children's hospital and the smiles they brought to the faces of the children there. I think of the Dream Center in Easley, how we've been able to help them some. I think of God's Pantry, Harvest Hope Pantry, Homes of Hope. These are agencies that we've given monies to and sometimes done work days with. Shelley tells me she's so grateful for those of you who are helping her in the children's ministry, including children and a nursery. More than 90 volunteers from this congregation are helping to train our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, who are fulfilling their vows to assist these parents who make those vows at the baptism of their child. We will assist you in the raising and nurturing of your son or your daughter. So many of you are participating in that, and I'm very grateful for it. I look back, I remember in 2010, we had an off-site vacation Bible school. And we've had vacation Bible school for many years here, but we took it off-site one year to the Springfield Park in Malden. We had over 200 every day in that hot sun. Boy, I remember that. But several professions of faith were made. That was a fond memory in our past. Mary Ann Carpenter was the children's director then, and she's not here this morning. But I'm very grateful for that. And then let me just talk about the ESL ministry that we can thank God for. He's done great things for us through that. Jennifer and Abram Reyes had the vision for this ministry. It began 15 years ago in 2004. And over 300 lives have been touched through this ministry. We've offered 4 levels of instruction. Very grateful for faithful teachers in the early years. It was Judy Gentile and Melissa Young and Linda Good and Abraham, her husband Abram, And of course, Jennifer has been leading that since the very beginning, and now Melissa Young is taking that over to give Jennifer a little bit of a break. Over the years, Mary Koch and Shamgar McDowell and Amy Snow and Dee Graham and Lauren Wiseman and others have been involved, in addition to the folks who contributed snacks and so on. Linda Good has written a book, a Bible study book, that is first class for these ESL students. It teaches them the Word of God. It gives them language instruction as well. It's a fantastic thing. And I thank God for these gifted and talented people. Do you remember Horizon Lights? July 4th fireworks program that attracted thousands of people to this place. I'm very grateful for Jimmy Knight and for the pyrotechnics that set this place off. Many people came to know us as a result of that. They got familiar with who Horizon was. I think of prison outreach with our own Scott Jacobs and your Commandment 11, where you're fulfilling the Word of God and going to those behind bars. We have a part when Scott goes and others. Mom's Morning Out we've had in the past, and the lives that that helped so much. Christian Learning Center, thousands of dollars over the years we've contributed to them. We partnered with Gears, you might remember, that after-school faith-based program that was here for 18 months, Monday through Friday. We partnered with them. The fellowship events, the game nights, the Super Bowl Sunday, the harvest parties, the dinners of eight, and on it goes. All these opportunities for God's people to fellowship with one another. Multiple community groups for men, for women, for couples. I think of Bel Air Inner City Ministries that Janet Williams has partnered with and been our link to them. We've had work days with them. We've given monies to them. We will continue. I think of the Downtown Outreach Ministries that Paul Weathers has linked us to that we've helped significantly on several occasions. I think of Salvation Army bell. You remember the Salvation Army bell ringers deal we used to do at Christmas over at Walmart? We'd stand out there. Bill Ritchie, you'll like this. We had a friend from my Bible study who had Parkinson's disease, and he didn't have any trouble at all ringing that bell. He never got tired. I think of the Boxes of Love that we participated in for 3 years at Thanksgiving. Thank you, Jimmy Tenpass and Dave Burris and Greg Morton for that. There were several others that participated with them as well. Through the Christmas sign outreach we did 1 year with Scott Black of just proclaiming Jesus, just holding up signs. Jesus is the reason for the season, stuff like that. I think of the caroling and the Christmas cards for shut-ins that we've done with folks in assisted living down the road. Thank you, Jim Cody and Diane, for helping steer us in that direction for a number of years. And then I think of the 20 Christmas Eve services that we've celebrated here that help people to put the right emphasis on Christmas. I think of Operation Christmas Child. Now, we've been doing this for the past several years, since 2011. This is under the auspices of Samaritan's Purse. Thank you, Brittany Barron. You have administered this and been the driving force behind it, but you have lots of friends and helpers over the years. We started that first year with 140 boxes prepared for children around the world. This year, we hope to reach 400 boxes. And between 2013 to last year, we increased our giving of those boxes by 200. And our packing parties began in 2014. This will be our fifth year. We average over 100 or more people at these parties, and especially the youth and the kids and the ladies' Bible study contribute hugely during the year as they prepare these boxes for distribution. Twice we've gone to Charlotte to the one of the main distribution centers to pack those boxes. But over the years, our boxes have traveled to Burundi, Peru, Ecuador, Ukraine, Colombia, South Africa, the Philippines, Democratic Republic of Congo, and Cameroon, as well as several undisclosed, hard-to-reach places. And here's what Brittany says about Operation Christmas Child, to which you contribute. I personally have loved seeing how God moves in the lives of our youngest church members. The kids get so excited to pack for other kids. What a blessing to see our children serving alongside the grown-ups, working to share the good news with others. Each shoebox recipient also hears the gospel, often for the first time. God is doing great things for us. And thank you for all of you who participate. I think of vocationally, what we've, by His grace, been able to do. I think of Jeff Heiser, who's now pastoring in Puerto Rico. I think of Lauren Lockridge, who's working with student ministries. I think of Reed Polstra, who's a youth pastor in New Zealand now. I think of Stephen Weathers, my first assistant, who has been in China for these many years now and has flourished there and had great opportunities. He's now been asked to help pastor and oversee an expat church there in Shanghai. I'm very grateful for what God has done with these individuals and placing them in strategic spots. I think of the youth pastors that have served our young people over the years, Cliff Carden and Joe Slack and Justin Davis and Andrew Hargett and now own Gordon Carpenter. And Gordon is a son of this congregation. I think of children's ministry. In the early days, it was Candace Craning and then Mary Ann Carpenter and then Brian Russo and now Shelley McDowell. I think of the music directors. Don Chapman led us in the early years. And then Mitch Chaddick and Wendy Curtis. And now Scott Jacobs. I think of the assistants that I've had serving with me. Mark Taylor, Stacy Cox, and now Joe Franks. And many of you remember those folks and the contributions they made. I think of our administrative assistants. The first one was Christiana Leventis. And then Linda Muldrum, and Carly Tan, Rebecca Applegate, and now Julie Henry. Hundreds of young people have attended Survival Island and other retreats and camps down through the years. I think of Bayside Medical Mission in Puerto Viejo, Ecuador. We began participating there in 2014. Do you know that first year we helped underwrite 11 surgeries? Surgeries that would change the lives of these people forever. And then the next year it was 12 surgeries and then 19 surgeries. And last year it was 21 surgeries. Last year. And so for a total of 63 surgeries that we as a church have underwritten, subsidized, that's over $22,000, which is a real bargain. But these lives, 63 lives have been changed because God has raised up Horizon. We thank Jennifer Reyes and the Fellers, Dr. Fellers and his clinic down there. And as you know, our people went down there this past early summer. To Puerto Viejo. Jennifer Reyes says, what amazing blessing the people of Horizon have been to so many. These are lives completely changed. For many, from a life without hope to a life full of hope. That's good news. That's great things that God has done. We got a letter from the director of La Vida Ministry down there at Puerto Viejo. I'd just like to share it with you. Dear Horizon Church and Missions Team, thank you so much for the blessing the city of Puerto Viejo and the surrounding areas through the missions team that came in representation of your congregation and your vision for the world. We are sure by now that you've been blessed by the testimonies, the photos, videos, and stories that the team have shared with you all. It was a crazy full week with all of the different areas in which the team served and ministered. The team ministered to over 2,000 people in the week that they were here and helped open up doors in the new areas. We all were blessed by your generosity and your willingness to serve. And those who came, those who equipped, those who prayed, those who gave, and those who sent. Each played an important role in this life-changing time of ministry. Of course, your generosity and faithfulness have blessed and accompanied Fundación La Vida, the foundation La Vida, for many years. We are very grateful for the way in which you have come alongside us. We just finished up a successful week of surgeries here at La Vida and are continuing to be busy with daily attention to the people who come looking for help and solutions for their orthopedic problems. Due to the tough economic situations in Ecuador, along with the lack of funding in the government and Social Security hospitals caused by corruption in the previous regime, we're seeing an increase of patients in need coming to La Vida. We will be closing out 2019 with more surgical brigades, a wheelchair brigade, and a prosthetics orthotics brigade. We're excited about the blessings of the new prosthetics orthotics workshop that will make that brigade this year so much more effective, thanks to Horizon Church and the awesome team you sent us. The schools and soccer camp kids and parents are always asking about the team and if they will return. The soccer kids and parents said they want to learn English so they can communicate better if you all return. We hope to do a United session with, and so on he goes. He says, the women's prison has contacted us, asking us to return. We'll all be scheduling visits to the schools that we visited. Because of exams and school vacations, we may have to wait until October. But thanks again for all you do and the blessing that you are to us and to the people of Puerto Viejo, Manabi, in Ecuador. We love you all and hope to see you again. God has done great things. I wasn't part of that team, but I am part of that team because of my connection. We are one in Christ, and you are too. You may not have made the physical journey down there, but you have been a part of that team. God has done great things. Well, in closing, verses 5 and 6, we see something. We see the going of the servant. We see the flowing of the tears. We see the sowing of the seed, and we see the mowing of the harvest. Jesus was later to use this psalm in his own encounters with people. In John 4, the woman at the well, he said to his disciples, "Look out the fields, fields of harvest. They're white unto harvest." And in Mark 4, he told the parable of the sower with allusion to this text. And so that's a crucial part of our vision going forward as we sow the seed with tears. Faithfully, as we continue to discover what it means to enjoy our fellowship with God, what it means to encourage one another in a variety of ways, and what it means to engage the world around us. And so looking forward with optimism and hope and faith, we pray, "Your kingdom come, your will be done." And we don't want to forget, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless the Lord and forget not his benefit." Looking back with gratitude and joy, we can't help but say, "To God be the glory. Great things he has done." Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for this word. Thank you for the opportunity to just open the book of remembrance and look back to what you have done for us. I pray that you'd encourage our inner being, that you would help us to see what great things you can do by multiplying exponentially our resources. Inspire your people, I pray, to give and to go and to sow. This we pray humbly, sincerely, in Jesus' name. Amen.